Hallelujah. All right, Philemon and verse 6. So we're looking at exploring our authority in Christ Jesus. Exploring our authority in Christ. And we've said a number of things which we're going to go further. I want to remind us that this coming Saturday by 8 a.m. we're having our monthly prayer meeting. So by 8 a.m. Saturday, let's come together and have our monthly prayer meeting. We're going to have a wonderful time. Also, next month, the month of June, the last Saturday, Friday in the month of June, we're going to be having a believers all night meeting. So I want you to start preparing for that. Philemon, let's read verse 4 and 6. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, that the communication of thy faith may become one effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. In Christ is a phrase that was mostly used by the Apostle Paul to convey the mystery of the union between the believer and Christ. And notice that Paul is praying for Philemon. And the same phrase he used in verse 4 is the same phrase he used in Ephesians 1 from verse 15. When it says, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Okay, and verse 16, I believe. Know that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom or spiritual wisdom and revelation in the light of him, which is Christ Jesus. So he's saying that though you are saved, though the fame of your salvation, your stance in the faith has come to my understanding or to my hearing, he says, I cease not to pray for you. What is the focus of the prayer? And Paul tells us there how we should pray for believers. You notice what we're looking at is exploring our authority in Christ. It's because whatever authority we have is spiritual in nature. It means it's not something that is perceptible to the senses. It is spiritual in nature. So it requires prayer because it requires your spiritual senses to be open to understand it. So when it comes to authority that we have in Christ, it's more of a function of understanding for a believer. Understanding. Paul says that the communication of your faith may become effectual. So in that Philemon 6, for instance, Paul is saying that a believer like Philemon has faith. A believer doesn't have a faith problem. Say, I don't have a faith problem. A believer doesn't have a faith problem. So sometimes we think that the challenges that we face, that the challenge is really that we need more faith to tackle the everyday circumstances and situations. But the real issue is that you don't need more faith. You need the faith you have to work. So he says that the communication of faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. That phrase in Christ is a mystery. It's a mystery because it's difficult to interpret. Okay? So the best Greek scholars gather together hundreds of years and they still can't really put the right words to explain what it means. So the best way to describe it is in union with Christ. You know, and one of them even spoke up and said that, well, when you say in union, you are really referring to what has happened after the Christ took place. You know, but that's the best way to get said, in Christ, in union with Christ. It's talking about something that took place at salvation such that there is no way of separating the believer from Christ himself. So that when you see Christ, you see the believer. When you see the believer, you see Christ. Hallelujah. He now says that there are certain things that are already in you. Riches, blessings that belong to you because you are in union. You didn't do anything to get it. You got those things because you are in union with Christ. He now says, the communication of your faith, which is your faith participating in those things, is a function of precise knowledge, accurate facts. It's not talking about casual information that I know a little bit about this. Because confidence doesn't come that way. How does confidence come? You already have faith. How will your faith work? It says by the acknowledging, full comprehension of those things which are in you by reason of you being in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And he uses that phrase in several of his letters. In that Ephesians, let's look at Ephesians 1 now. Ephesians 1. Again, if you've not been able to quote accurately some of those verses in Ephesians 1, likely because you've not been praying it outside of church. Okay? You ought to be praying this every single day. You can't have this and say you don't have prayer point. Say, I have prayer points. Say, I have prayer points. Say, the Pauline prayers are my prayer points. The reason why you have other prayer points is because you are not praying this one. The only way we need to take care of those other ones is to take this one. Because there are some things you are praying for, you won't pray for again after you have prayed this one. Because when you see and you know, you are like you're supposed to know, all those things chasing you around will not chase you around again. Hallelujah. All right, look at verse 17. Now the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, or spiritual wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that is Christ, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. And we said that implies that you are in a position. You have a status, a standing. You presently exist in a sphere of influence that your eyes of understanding needs to see where you are. So spiritually, you are located in Christ is a place. Not a physical place, a spiritual realm of authority. When it says your eyes of your understanding being enlightened that you may know, it's talking about the fact that the reality of where you are, who you are, where you stand, should now sink or settle upon your consciousness. That you may know what is the hope of his calling. Our call is a reference to salvation, which is you were called out of something to something else. Now, whatever you were called into, you need to understand what it is. It's a spiritual realm. It's a spiritual position. It is in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. It says that the eyes of him being enlightened, you may know what's above his calling and what the riches of the glory of the inheritance. That means now that you are in Christ, there is an inheritance that accrues to you by being in Christ. Hallelujah. Something you are meant to take hold of, use, exercise consciously. Something that was so potent that Christ physically never has to come back to do anything for you. What was given to you is sufficient for you to exercise mastery until he comes back. So when it says your eyes of understanding being enlightened, don't read it like a mantra. Open it up and examine the details. What is it trying to say? It's trying to let you see something that no believer needs to ever live in fear. No believer ever needs to be afraid of the demonic forces. No believer ever needs to be unsure about tomorrow. No believer ever needs to be threatened by the rapture. You know, there are people who threaten people with messages of rapture. I mean, the minute you hear a message, maybe let's say in the bus or commercial vehicle, and somebody is saying, check your life, check your life. Where are you now? Check your life. If Jesus comes now, will you make it? And you're not sure if you will make it, whatever it is. You're not sure if you make it. What is the problem? You don't know what you are meant to know. Do you understand? You don't know what you are meant to know. Colossians 3 says we should set our affections on things that are above, where Christ is seated. It now says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, we shall appear with him. It means there's no appearance of Christ without you. Do you understand? Say his appearance is my appearance. We are one. One spirit. Hallelujah. So I can't be threatened by rapture. In a sense. So he's talking about you coming to understand. It means God is not going to do anything extra. He's done so much, it's left for you to find out. So a diligent student of the scriptures will then see, it's not for passing an examination in church. It's for your everyday life. A believer will not need to be given authority if it's not necessary. That you have authority means God saw it as important, as necessary. You are going to need this in your everyday life. That's why it's so important. So, let's go forward now. Look at verse 19. It says, and what is the word? Exceeding greatness of his power towards what we believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. From that verse 20, we see something that is a specific time that whatever is writing about from verse 17 took place. It speaks about you and I coming to know. Our eyes of understanding being enlightened. We know what is over for his calling. We understand what the riches of the glory of his inheritance is inside every single saint, and the exceeding greatness of his power. He now says, which he accomplished in Christ. When he raised him from the dead. By that singular statement, is telling you that the authority you and I have right now is not the authority Peter, James, and John had in the Gospels. Because he just told you that I'm referring to what he accomplished in Christ when he raised him from the dead. So you can't find the authority he's talking about in the four Gospels. In the first Gospels, at the latter end of it, is when Jesus rose from the dead. Hallelujah. Look at Luke chapter 10, verse 19. Luke chapter 10, verse 19. Look at what Jesus spoke to them. Behold, I give unto you what? Power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. This is self-explanatory. Serpents and scorpions are not literal serpents and scorpions. Okay, it's a figure of speech to all the works or the power of the enemy. So the word "and" then means "that is." Okay, it's an explanation, a further explanation. This is, behold, I give unto you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. So serpents and scorpions and the work power of the enemy is the same. It's talking about demoniacal forces exercising authority over them. Say, behold, I give unto you power. That is delegated authority. It means Jesus was saying, wherever I can go, I send you forth as my representatives. That the same authority I have over them, you will exercise over them. So this is delegated authority. This is not the one that the new creation has. That's why we read to rightly divide the word of truth. So again, that Ephesians verse 20 says, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. When he raised him from the dead, is to call your attention to the fact that what he's talking about right now that belongs to a believer is what Christ received when he resurrected at his resurrection. Say amen. Say amen. That's why there's a distinction between what Peter spoke concerning Jesus in the four Gospels, in the Acts of Apostles, that Acts chapter 10 verse 18 that most of us have heard about, which is, and God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, and he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. That is Jesus of the four Gospels. That's a limited authority. That's not the same authority he's trying to explain here. That authority doesn't require the kind of prayer Paul is talking about in Ephesians 1. Because those who were not saved, like the apostles, they demonstrated it, they walked in it. But this one is different. Hallelujah. And it's so grand and so unique that it requires prayer. Prayer for what? Revelation. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 16. There's some things that were committed to the Apostle Paul that the language he used, we need to pay attention to it. Look at what Paul said. And if there's anybody who had the authority to speak like this, I think it's Apostle Paul, because he never met Jesus in the flesh. He didn't see him when he was walking physically on the shores of Galilee. He only saw Jesus in the spirit after he rose from the dead. So everything Paul knew about Jesus was by revelation. So let's see what he says. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, or according to his natural birth. He says, yet now, henceforth, know we him no more. Hallelujah. Do you see that? Do you see that? So we don't know him any longer in that order. There's a different order. Now, what's order? The order of his what? Resurrection. Hallelujah. That's why verse 17, which is what most of us are familiar with now, says, look at verse 17. Therefore, say therefore, if any man, that means me. If any man, that means me, be in Christ, he is a new creation. That means a new species of being. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are what? Become new. So the authority we're looking at is the authority that belongs to the saint by the reason of the resurrection of Jesus. That means that it's the authority you were given at birth. The resurrection of Jesus is what made the new creation possible. That resurrection, therefore, is a crux of Christianity, what we call the Christian faith. Understanding, therefore, what Jesus accomplished, or what God wrought through him, is the key to unlocking what is the scope of that authority. Hallelujah. and then exercising that authority. It's important that we understand that. The Bible says, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenlies. So the more we look into that and understand that, we will be bold when it comes to demonstrating and exercising. And believe me, you are going to need it. If not today, tomorrow. You know, the other time we were discussing, and I asked some of us that, how many of us have ever had to cast out devils? So let me ask again. How many of you have ever had to cast out devils? Colossians 1. How many of you? Say, neighbor, have you ever had to cast out devils? Make sure you get an answer. Get an answer. Get an answer. If somebody says no, raise your hand. We will take it where they are this morning. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Okay, Colossians 1 now, quickly. Are we there? All right. Look at verse 13. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness? That word power is also authority of darkness, and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. Who is referring to? The believer. Look at verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Now again, if you allow the scripture to interpret itself, it's saying that in verse 13, how did he deliver us from the power of darkness? He did it by qualifying us to be partakers of the inheritance that belongs to the saints in light. Let me read that again. Who has delivered us from the authority of darkness and has translated us into where? The kingdom or the domain of authority of his dear son. So he's saying this, that how does a believer get delivered? Look at verse 14. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. What is he saying? Notice verse 12. Who has qualified us or made us mean? That one made us mean means he qualified you to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Those statements are not disconnected. To be qualified to be a partaker of the inheritance of the saints in light. First question, what is the inheritance that belongs to the saints in light? Verse 14, look at verse 14. Read verse 14 very loudly. We have what? Notice inheritance is something you have. Something you are given. So the inheritance in verse 12 is what? Redemption, which means the forgiveness of sins. So if I am a saint in light, what is inheritance that belongs to me? Redemption. And that redemption means what? The forgiveness of sins. So the forgiveness of sins is something I inherit when I come into Christ. And to have forgiveness of sins, listen carefully, means I've been delivered from the authority of darkness. I want you to see if you get it. If I have been delivered from the authority of darkness, what is the authority of darkness? I can't hear you. You're intelligent. Sin. If I have forgiveness of sins, I have been delivered. You know, some of us think that, you know, and I think some of these movies have contributed to that idea. Have you seen movies that paint this picture that Jesus just went to hell? Some weeping, I took a whip. Some giving, I had a wrestling match. But look at the scriptures, because everything you find in Ephesians from verse 1 all the way down is speaking about spiritual things, not physical things. So when the Bible is expressing a spiritual reality, the minute you come to the senses, you lose sight of what it's talking about. Notice the graduation of truth. It says, who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance that reserved strictly for the saints in the light? Who has delivered us from the authority of what? Darkness. And has what? Translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. In whom we have redemption, which is what? The forgiveness of sins. So he's telling you, the inheritance that belongs to the saints is what? The forgiveness of sins. And in you receiving forgiveness of sins, it means you have been delivered from the authority of darkness. So what is Satan's authority over the lost? Sin. So in ministering forgiveness of sins to you, Jesus delivered you from the authority of darkness. Hallelujah. How did he minister forgiveness of sins? You became a new creation. You believed the gospel. You acted on Romans chapter 10, verse 8 to 10. That's what you did. Hallelujah. And then you received the forgiveness of sins. And there is nothing like receiving the forgiveness of sins and not having a new nature. The new nature that you have received means your what? Your sins have been forgiven. Say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So, who has delivered us? Past tense. That phrase, that word delivered means something that happens that cannot be reversed. The process. Every time it's used, it infers that something was taken from one location and placed in another location. Every time it's used, it infers that someone took control of another person by removing that person or releasing that person from the authority of something and bringing that person under the authority of another. So when it says, who has delivered us from the authority, it means you're now under another authority. Say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So we see something interesting, something important, that in whom we have redemption, even one, the forgiveness of sins. Look at Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. Or look at that Colossians chapter 2 first. I want to show you something. Colossians chapter 2. Let's read from verse 11. Okay. Verse 10. Colossians 2 from verse 10. Are you there? And you are complete in him. Say, I'm complete in him. Hallelujah. Say, it's my completion. And you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. In whom also you are, notice the phrase, in whom you are circumcised. So when you received Christ, you received everything that has to do with Christ. In him, or in whom you were circumcised, with one, with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off of the body of sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who has raised him from the dead. Hallelujah. And you being dead in your sins and circumcision of your flesh, and he quickened together with him. Look at last part. Having forgiven you of how many? Of how many? Does all mean past sins only? Does it mean past sins only? Hallelujah. I can see not everybody's answering. Does it mean past sins only? What is all? What does all stand for? All means all. Do you know the reason why sin can be measured with a new creation? Sin and a new creation can't stand side by side. It's either you are a sinner or you're a new creation. But you can't be a sinning new creation. It doesn't work like that. If you are a new creation, you are God's righteousness in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Do you understand? So when it says, having forgiven you all trespass, it means no blame can ever be laid. No blame can ever be laid at your door any longer. In fact, that Colossians 1:13 that says, and who has delivered you from the authority of darkness? How did he deliver you? By giving you the forgiveness of sins. So if there are future sins that are yet to be forgiven, have you been delivered? Have you been delivered? No, you didn't hear me. It's obvious you didn't get it. Colossians 1:13, what does it say? Who has delivered us from what? The authority of darkness and has... Have you been translated? Are you longer in the under the authority of darkness? Now listen carefully. It says, having forgiven you all trespasses. What is the authority of darkness? So if future sins can be held against you, have you been translated? I want to see if you got it. Did you get it? If future sins can be held against you, if sin is the authority of the devil and you have been translated, it means future sins is also included in that list. Do you understand? Having forgiven you all, because sin is how Satan exercises authority. So you were delivered and you were translated. Where you are now, sin doesn't abound. Do you understand? So look at verse 15, so where we're going. Oh, well, that's verse 13, isn't it? Having forgiven all trespasses, verse 14. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinance that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Verse 15. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them, how? Openly, triumphing over them in it. Before we break that down, look at Hebrews chapter 2 now. Because look at what Philemon told us, or what Paul told us in Philemon. He says, the communication of your faith will only become effectual as you learn to acknowledge how many good things? How many good things? Some? Every good thing which is in you. So if you understand the breakdown of how the authority was given to you, you will know how the authority operates. There will be no doubt. You see, inequality in experience or inconsistency in experience is a reflection, inconsistency in what you know. So if you are not conversant with those details, with those facts, you will not be able to work in authority. In fact, that's why you say things like, okay, okay, then this was mostly back in school. Yeah, you know, it happened even outside of school and discipling a few believers. And I told them that, okay, as we're going out today, we're going to meet some certain kinds of people, and I want you to just cast out the devils. And the first question, today? Yesterday? Now? Yes, now. You didn't tell me before. If I tell you what you have done. And next is, but I know myself. You know the wrong thing. You should have known Jesus better than yourself. Hallelujah. Now, the average believer believes that whenever they hear the word, I don't know where we got that thing from, that it needs special preparation. Most of the time is because you have heard all kinds of strange things. And when I first got saved, one of the things I heard was that when you're casting out demons, stay at a distance because it can jump on you. Have you heard that kind of thing before? It can jump on you. There's someone who said that if you don't cost you just where it may slap you. None of those things are true. No, this is not true. And then some of the movies that we have seen have also watered down our understanding, because the kind of movies you have seen is such that, can you imagine people who are portraying that when evil power is used, people are affected immediately. But when it's time to pray for their healing, it may take months. Have you seen this kind of movie before? Glorifying power of the enemy. That's what he has done. So unconsciously, a believer's consciousness is weakened. Because you think that if it's jazz, it works immediately. But with God's power, you know, God is a bit old, so he's getting senile. He doesn't understand what he's doing again. It will take time. What we say? And then at the end of the film, have you noticed all of them? It took 6 months to be well, but the jazz worked once. And I put, to God be the glory. It's very annoying. Does that look like God has been glorified? So unconsciously, we watch those kind of films, and we've now translated it to real life. But even in the four gospels, when it was operating as one who was anointed of God, do you notice that Jesus never spent time in casting out demons? In fact, the Bible says that he did not allow them to speak. Do you notice that when the disciples came, they didn't come and tell him that there was a particular one, it took us 24 hours. If Jesus had to spend hours in casting out devils, I assure you, his ministry would have been more than 3.5 years. He cast out the spirit with his word. And that was when he didn't have all authority. Imagine. So, now that you are in Christ, hallelujah. Say, all authority has been given me in Christ Jesus. Casting out demons should be an everyday affair. Whether you have prayed or you have not prayed, it's a consciousness. You can pray and still run if you don't know. So it's not how much you pray, it is your inheritance. Hallelujah. But the more you understand how it came about, the increases, the bolder you become when it comes to exercising, because you are looking at it from the revelation of the truth of God's word. So you're able to walk in it consciously. Hallelujah. Look at Hebrews chapter 2. Don't forget what we just read in Colossians chapter 2. We're going to come back. See, verse 14, Hebrews chapter 2. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also, that's Christ Jesus now, likewise took part of the same, that through death, or through the avenue of death, he might destroy him that had the power of death. That is who? The devil. Hallelujah. Did you see that? So notice what the Bible says, that Jesus became flesh and blood, or became a man, and took part of our humanity, that through the avenue of spiritual death, he might destroy him that had what? The power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Hallelujah. Did you see that? So the Bible is teaching about the fact that through his death, Jesus used that means of death as a way of disarming. To destroy them means he annulled, he rendered useless, he made him inoperative. How? Through the death of Jesus, our sins were paid for. Say amen. Listen carefully, listen carefully. It's important. Through the sacrificial death of Jesus, our sins were paid for. So when the mom says through death, he destroyed him. That word destroy means that he rendered him operative. He is still existing. He is no longer valid. Do you understand? So that being is still operating, but is no longer ruling or reigning. His authority has been what? Taken away from him. The Bible now says that through death, that is through his paying the price for our sins, through his death, he now rendered the one who had power of death. How was he operating power of death? Through sin. So since sin had been what? Paid for, whatever he was using to reign had been taken from him. Glory to God. So go back to that Colossians 2 now, if you understand that. Colossians 2, verse 15. Colossians 2, verse 15. Are you there? And having spoiled. That word spoiled is the one you use when two nations go to war. And then one nation conquers the other. And how does this show that it has conquered the other? The word spoiled means that you take from that other army whatever they trusted in. You take away from them all their arms, all their ammunition, whatever they used as their source of strength. When you take it away from them, you have spoiled them. Do you understand? So now it says that having spoiled principalities and powers are not human beings. They are spiritual beings. Look at what the Bible says. Having spoiled them, or having taken away from them what they trusted in, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. I want you to see something in this phrase now. Look, notice the word them occurs twice. Can you see that? Can you see that? So let's read this way. Having spoiled who? Principalities and powers. That's it, them. And then, is that like them? So it says, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them. So there were two sets of them here. Are you with me this morning? Are you following this morning? Okay, so we have two sets of them. The word translated them, the first them, can also be translated as us. So look at the second them as representing principalities and powers. The first them is actually translated as us. So read it this way. Having spoiled one, principalities and powers, he made a show of us openly, triumphing over them. Let me rephrase this way. When he disarmed them, what was their armor or their ammunition or their strength? What was it? Notice that Hebrews 2:14 says that he delivered those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to what? Bondage. So here he's saying that after he disarmed spiritualities and powers, he took those who were captives. That was what they counted on. What were they using to hold those ones down? Sin. Once sin was paid for, he took away all that they had. He now displayed those captives openly as those who are now delivered, as proof that those ones no longer have any authority. If you understand, let me see that. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Now, I'm saying that because when you hear that Jesus spoke principalities and powers, what comes to our mind was that in hell there was a wrestling match. How many of you have seen that before? It wasn't depicted. But what took place is spiritual in nature. So there can be physical wrestling. You know, it's very funny. Some of the things that we were taught and how we picture those things. Imagine Jesus giving Satan uppercut. Sliding tackle. And Satan is a spiritual being. And Satan has never struck you anywhere before physically. So whatever took place, if the authority of the enemy is spiritual, the victory has to be how? Spiritual. The weapon has to be what? Spiritual. Do you understand? So it says, having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show. What show means that? To display before witnesses. In other words, when he rose from the dead, we were the ones he displayed as proof of his triumph. Hallelujah. We were the ones he displayed as proof of his triumph. We were no longer under the authority of the enemy. The price for our sin had been paid. We were released. We had been translated. We were now in his train and is leading us triumphantly on throughout eternity. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So go back to that Ephesians 1 and 20. Ephesians 1 verse 20. Look at that phrase again. Which he wrought in who? In Christ. When he raised him from the dead and did what? Set him where? Set him where? Remember, where is God's right hand? This one. Sorry? It's a place of authority. So he set him. Actually, that word right hand means a regent over all spiritual forces. The word regent means that he's a prince or he's a ruler over all authorities. He now says, set him at his own right hand. In the heavenly place, look at verse 21. Far above all principality. Far above there is not a statement of height. It's a statement of rank. Rank means the order, listen carefully, of Jesus' exaltation and creation is higher than any being that has ever existed. Hallelujah. Among angels, there are ranks. He's now telling you that the positioning and the placement of Jesus, no angel has ever been there before. By his resurrection, he attained a ranking. Do you understand that ranking? That means that the ranking was so special that it was when he came out that it was handed over. Nobody had ever been given that kind of rank before. That's what it means. So it says far above, or to say above is good. To say far above is over and beyond. Do you understand? So far above all principalism and one, and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in one. Look at the next verse. And has put all things where? Or under his dominion. Remember Colossians 1:13. Who has delivered us from the authority of darkness and has won? Translated us where? The kingdom of his. Where are you now? Where are you now? Where are you now? Now see what it says, man. And has put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. Let's stop. To be the head simply means its headship. That position as head was given to him for our sake. Let's put it another way. Jesus was given this authority not because he needed it, but as us, or representing us. That means that all that was accomplished so that you and I can walk in it. So it's not delegated authority. Listen carefully. Delegated authority is what the disciples were given before Jesus rose from the dead. Jesus rising from the dead, there is a new creation which is in Christ. In Christ means is in everything that Jesus is now. Hallelujah. So when Bible says that he has become the head, anybody who is a new creation is also the head of all principalities and powers. You need to say it. Listen, Jesus is not the firstborn, then you are the second, Sister Tessie is the third, you know, Sister Jumoke is the fourth, Captain, you are number 27. you know, firstborn means that everyone who is born that way is exactly like the firstborn. Is the prototype means that once he came out, if you see any other person who came out, they're exactly like him. So when they see you, they see Jesus. When they see Jesus, they see you. So to be the head there doesn't mean he's separate and you are separate. You are inseparable. The womb you came out from, anybody who comes from there, is also called the head of all principalities and powers. Hallelujah. Do you understand? If you understand this, you there will be no fear of like, you know, if Jesus were here. No, if you were here, you are to look to him to see who you are. If you are looking to him, you don't see who you are. You have not looked well at what it means. So when he says, and he gave him to be the head over all things to the church. He now says, in case you are missing it, which is his body. My leg doesn't have more authority than my head. My head doesn't have more authority than my arm. It is my body. They operate together. When I'm exercising authority, I want to drink water. My head says, we're drinking water. My head doesn't need water. My body needs water. But my head gives instruction. My arm carries it. They walk together. Hallelujah. Do you understand? So it's the same way that you don't have your head bearing one name and your body bearing another in the same name. So remember, when looking at the name of Jesus, we said the name of Jesus is the name of the new creation. It's name God gave to the new creation, to those who have come out of spiritual death. Say, I've come out of spiritual death. I've been delivered from the authority of darkness. I've been translated. Satan has no power over me. I walk in dominion. I exercise mastery. All the powers of the enemy, they are under my feet. I walk in absolute dominion over every work of darkness in the name of Jesus. So when you're saying in the name of Jesus, it's not the same thing as, you know, if I just say name now, something will happen. In the name of Jesus is your name. You are a new creation. Hallelujah. Is your name. And that name means head over principalities and powers. That name means far above. That name means exceeding greatness of God's power has been worked. That name means there is no dominion that is higher than the dominion you have. Hallelujah. If you understand this, there is no talisman. You are a talisman by yourself. See, Pastor, he took my name to the village. Your name. They took your name. If you came to report, you should be afraid of what will happen to them. Not what will happen to you. They took your name. Let them take it. Let them call. You, where you are coming from, nothing like jazz operates there. When you appear, jazz dies. I'm not talking about prayer. I'm talking about who you are in Christ Jesus. What you ought to realize and start walking in consciously. Why Paul says this requires praying. Hence, you will not see in any of the epistles where we are instructed to ask God to do anything about the devil. Because all that needs to be done has been wrought in Christ. Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. In raising from the dead, finally, once and for all, any authority that the enemy has been stripped from him. Without the resurrection of Jesus. Hallelujah. Say, I rose with him. I'm seated with him. I'm in authority with him. His authority is my authority. Where he sits, I sit. Where he stands, I stand. Hallelujah. What he says, I say. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And next week we'll look at how to exercise, because you need to exercise. Nobody's going to exercise it for you. You need to exercise it. You first know that you exercise it. I even prefer those who don't know much, but they're already exercising it. I prefer those who, but if you don't exercise it at all, you are in trouble. Because you have something, you're not using it. It's like having a loaded gun and you refuse to shoot. And there's no power on the side of the adversary. All authority. Look at the word he used for power in Ephesians 1 from verse 17 all the way to 19. Exceeding greatness. He's talking about power that is over and above what is required. That was given. It means power you can't use, you can't finish in this lifetime. See what it says. It says, look at that verse 19. Okay. Go all the way down. Look at verse. Is it verse 20? Verse 20. Look at 21. I want to show you something. Far above all principalities and power and might and dominion. And every name that is what? Look at the last part. Not only in this age. You know what I said? If there's another age that is coming, the power that was given is to extend to that side too. So after you have exhausted everything that needs to be done with the ones here, the next age, you are still ruling. You are still in power. It means your position will never change. That's what it means. So he gave you over and above. Don't be lazy spiritually by not exploring and finding out, this belongs to me also. Hallelujah. This belongs. We speak to things and things answer. We speak to beings and beings respond. So your mouth can't be shut if you are a believer that is practicing and walking his authority. Glory to God. It can be shut. That's why we mind our language. We mind what we watch, because we don't want anything that will water down our consciousness. Your authority can be watered down, but your consciousness of it can be watered down. It can be watered down. Glory to God. He gave him to be the head over all things to the church. He now says, which is his body. Say, I'm his body. I'm flesh of his flesh. I'm bone of his bones. Look at what Jesus told Saul of Tarsus when he saw him in Acts of the Lion. They saw Saul, why persecutest thou me? Say, what are thou, Lord? And Jesus said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. And Paul, Saul, had never met Jesus, but he had met saints. He had arrested saints. Jesus said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. They were saying that, I am not separate from any of the saints. As you touch a saint, I am feeling it. You are touching me. That's what Jesus said. Say, I'm one with him forever. Internally joined with him forever. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 4. Quickly, glory to God. Are you getting something this morning? But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he won. You will see something in the epistles. Every time the Bible uses the word love for a saint, it's always in the past tense. All the epistles. We have known and believed the love that God has towards us. 1 John chapter 4 verse 16. Every time he uses love, he's always in the past tense. Revelation chapter 1 verse 5. And has made us priests and kings. Washed us by his own blood. Every time he uses, he's always in the past tense. God who is rich in mercy, in his great love wherewith he has loved us. Look at the next verse. Even when we were dead, he says, as one quickening us together with Christ, by grace you are saved. Next verse, and has raised us up together and made us sit together. The word together is a very strong word. The best way you can describe it is this: when you're looking at sitting together in English, what you're thinking is this: Jesus sits here and I sit here. So if that is the position, if Jesus sits here and you sit here, that means that when you see him, let's assume he's physically sitting. Illustration. That means that the chairs will be extended till eternity, as far as the eyes can see, isn't it? Because you will sit, I will sit, you will sit, you will sit, you will sit. It's not how we look. So we just have chairs that extend until the eyes cannot see. But when it says he quickened us together and raised us together and made us to sit together, it's actually saying when he made you to sit together, as he sat, it was you that sat. The same life that quickened him, not a lesser life, quickened you. The same life that raised him, and you saw him rising, you were rising. That's what together means. It means you can't separate the experience. That's why the Bible says that we were buried in baptism with his death. That's why you were considered dead with him, so that you could rise with him. Hallelujah. Say, I'm alive with him forever. Because he lives, I live also. The authority he has, I have also. I exercise our authority in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. So we were quickened together. We were made to sit together. So as a regent of all principalities and powers, I'm a regent also of over all spiritual powers and authorities. That's what it means. I have the same mastery. If you are conscious of this, there's a way you will speak, there's a way you will carry yourself, there's a way you will use words in the place of prayer. Glory to God. And many times there are demonic activities around us that we're not even conscious is a demonic activity. You see someone in your family behaving in a way that is contrary to what you can call normal. You see certain manipulations or activities around you, and you don't know that there are spiritual forces to deal with, and you're trying to handle in the flesh what you ought to deal with in the spirit. I don't know how many times I've been in situations, I mean, even publicly, I've seen people do things that I knew demons were manifesting. And I didn't raise my voice on them, but in the name of Jesus, you foul spirit, I command you to stop your operations and disease your manifest now. And you see people come back to their normal senses. You see an aunt, an uncle, you see a boss behaving in a particular way. Men are given to yielding to evil spirits. I've used authority over my landlord more than once. Yeah. Because the way he was behaving, he was obvious he was in evil spirits. If you use flesh, you will fail. But when you realize this man is not even in control of his faculties. So before I go for a meeting with him, in the name of Jesus, I take authority over your tongue. You cannot rail against me. So I get there. After all the threats, you get there. Pastor, you can't sit down there. So what were we discussing? Because the evil force had been sacked from his activities. When you understand that we do not wrestle with flesh and blood, hallelujah, but against what? Principalities and what? Powers. We will be more conscious of the spirit realm. And God is not going to come and do it for you. You have to do it for yourself. As we round up now, 1 Peter chapter 5. And then we'll look at exercising fully next week. There's still a part I'm meant to share with us. I don't know how I'm going to get into that yet. 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 8. Quickly. See what it says. Let's be together. I want to go. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary. Stop. Where do you experience sobriety? In your spirit or in your mind? Where are you vigilant? In your spirit or in your mind? In your mind. So notice what he's about to talk about. Your adversary. That is instructive. He says, be sober, be vigilant, because you are adversary devil, as a roaring lion walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. What's the answer? Cry to God. Fast 21 days. Call captain on the phone. Call elder. They know how to deal with demons. Is that what the Bible says? What does it say? Oh, hallelujah. Whom resist? Whom resist? How? Steadfast in that what the faith means, in the conviction that you are the head of all principalities and powers. You are the head. Say, I am the head in Christ Jesus of all principalities and powers. It says, whom is steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same affliction, so it's not something special, are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. James chapter 4, verse 7. James 4, 7. Look at that instruction. Submit yourselves therefore to, how do you submit yourselves to God? How do you submit yourself to God? Okay, look at the previous verse. Look at the previous verse. But he giveth more grace, wherefore he said, God resists the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Look at verse 5. Go back to that verse 6. I want to hear something. But he giveth grace, he giveth more grace, wherefore he said, God does what? Resists the proud, but giveth what? Grace to the humble. If you're going to read in context, he's speaking about somebody who is submitted to his word. And he calls that person humble, and he calls the one who is not submitted to the word proud. So, being proud is not how you walk. You know, people think people that are proud is from the way they walk. And that's posture problem. Pride is not submitting to God's word. It means you think your wisdom is better, your understanding is greater. That's what it means. It now says, submit yourself, verse 7. Yourself, therefore, to who? Which is to his word. Resist the... As we go next week, we'll see that the one to resist is not passive at all. You can't be resisting by drinking coke. The resist is something active. It's something you do tenaciously because you know. You know, some of us are even better at resisting when it comes to our physical property than spiritual matters. That nobody can take your phone. It's my phone. Say, let's go to the position. It's my phone. I bought it. It's my phone. If we were, can be that tenacious about spiritual things, we will have more victories. They resist the devil and he will what? flee. So let's rephrase it. If he's not fleeing, you are not resisting. Whatever you are doing is not called resisting if he's not fleeing. Because let the scriptures be true. And everyone. So if he's not fleeing, you are not resisting. You think you are resisting, but you are not resisting. Because the Bible says, if you resist, what will he do? He will flee. So notice, you are to do the resisting. Notice you are the one who has to resist steadfast where? In the faith. You are the one who is meant to do it. So in any particular area, because of who you are in Christ Jesus, this instruction was not given to anyone until the new creation came into existence. It means it's uniquely for the new creation, because only the new creation has this kind of authority. Okay? Only the new creation. Isaiah couldn't do this. David couldn't do this. Moses couldn't do this. But the new creation in Christ, a new order of being, has all the authority and all the power. Stand to your feet this morning. Glory to God. And open your mouth and begin to declare, in the name of Jesus, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I exercise authority over every force of darkness. I walk in the consciousness of who I am in Christ. I declare I am complete in Him who is the head of all principality and power. I walk all over the works and the activities of the enemy. I declare I walk in sound health. My body is sound. My health is sound. My mind is sound. I declare I have answers in the place of prayer. I am more than a conqueror. Truly, He has loved me. In the name of Jesus, I declare, exercise mastery over the affairs of life. There is no situation or circumstance that can confound me in life. I exercise dominion in every area of my walk in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. You consciously speak and declare, you are not a weakling, you are a new creature in Christ Jesus. You are the favorite of God. You have been accepted in the beloved. Let your mouth declare the realities of what God has accomplished for you in Christ Jesus. There's exceeding greatness of His power towards you at all times. Say, there's exceeding greatness of God's power at work towards me. There is no lack of power in my experience. Tremendous power is at work in me, is at work all around me, and in all my affairs. I am not disadvantaged. I am at an advantage in Christ Jesus. I am one with Him who is the head. I share His headship. I exercise His authority and His power on the earth. Hallelujah. Glory to His name forever.